Let me appreciate our team that went yesterday and down there working. Give them a big clap off, would you? They left about 5 o'clock in the morning, or got here about 5 in the morning, and then the group to be back here to be able to run the services today got here about 2, 2:30 in the morning. How many know, thank God for young people? How many say thank God for young people and be able to do that, and then especially to head back down today? Also, today, Dorothy, remind me, today President Trump, finally a president does it again, declares today is National Prayer Day, and that hasn't been done in almost a decade. Come on, somebody. So let's take a minute and let's pray. Oh, God, we thank you for our country. We lift up our president to you, Lord, our elected officials, Lord, nationally, state-wise, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for the grace of God in this place. Lord, we pray for America one more time. Lord, we lift it up, Lord, just built upon you and built upon one nation under God. We thank you for a nation again, God. We thank you. We pray, God, whatever it takes to turn this nation back around to you. Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. We thank you for the remnant, Lord, you've got in this nation, men and women that pray and seek your face and put your kingdom first, O God, put your principles first. So, Lord, we lift up our nation before you. We lift it up, O God. We thank you for wake-up calls that come our way, Lord, that turn us to you. We thank you for that, Father. We just pray, O God, turn and open the eyes of this nation one more time. Lord, let this nation be a nation under God that loves you and reverence you, sends out missionaries, Lord, untold. And Lord, we love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give him a good clap offering. Would you do that? You know, one of the amazing things, nobody said it yet. No, you got to stand. You'll be seated a long time, okay, because I'll preach a long time today. You're off tomorrow. How many are off tomorrow? Let's see. How many get off tomorrow? How many have to work tomorrow? Well, bless you guys. Sorry to hear that. You know, the amazing thing that I hear out of Houston is on the national news is how shocked they are that people are helping people. Did you notice that? They're just shocked that the government cannot take care of everything. They were shocked. their mindset is, and that's the way the liberal mindset is, the government is to take care of everything. From the time you born to the time you die, the government, and then they're shocked that people are helping. Everybody say, God, thanks for the Cajun Navy. Come on, somebody. And I mean, they're just shocked that it's, to me, it's almost like this odd thing going on that people are helping people and not getting paid for it. Come on. And giving money. It's just amazing to me that we've got so far off thinking the government is the all in all. How many know that the help of this? And our hope is not in the White House. Our hope is in God's hand. Come on, somebody. That's what I believe. All right, today we're going to do a new, we're doing a series called Happiness Redefined, because in our society today, you need to redefine happiness, because if you tried to get happy the way that they used to get happy, your mom and dad got happy, this and that, there is a redefining of happiness, what it means. Having many of you lost everything, and you sit on that pile where you watch scavengers go through your precious things out by the road and had those mixed emotions going on. And you have to redefine what life's about. Redefine what really makes you happy. Redefine what really is fulfilling and really meets the deepest need of your heart. And I want to talk to you today because I told you the word blessed means happy. Happy are the meek. And today we're going to do this one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I wanted to call today blessed are the meek, but I want to call it how to hold a bar of soap. Come on, somebody. How to hold a bar of soap. I'm talking about not a brand new bar out of the package. I'm talking about one of those that you're showering and you reach for the soap that's in the soap dish, or it's falling on the, on the ground, hit your big toe and you're screaming and you're going out. How do you hold a bar of soap? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Open our eyes one more time how we need you, Lord, in every facet of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. All right, you can be seated. Now, next week, bring you a pillow. We have Bruce Bananna. He has the record here. I think he holds the top two or three records of the longest service we ever have here at Victory. And so what we do is we allow the kids to come back in about 11:30, and then you are opted to stay as long as you'd like to stay. Normally, we run about 2 or 3 in the afternoon with no exaggeration whatsoever. And so you're welcome to stay as long as you like. We just open. He ministers. I mean, he's got a great message. How many remember the message last year or year before last? We talked about the man with the tattoos. Remember that one? Remember, he had a man got saved. He had naked women tattooed down both arms. You remember that story? And he got saved. He went to the tattoo artist and got him put skirts on everyone. Come on, somebody. Kind of good amen, this Presbyterian church. Amen. So he really is. I love him. And then he talked about the guy that he worked for. You know, he was the man that the angels appeared. He lived where he should not have lived. An 18-wheeler, the hoist they had it on, the jacks fell, crushed him, and should have killed him, and he bled out, but he didn't. The Lord showed, angels appeared, and God just uses him tremendously. So let me invite you to do this. Won't you invite somebody next Sunday? If you want to bring somebody, tell them the story about Bruce Van Natta. Look it up, Google it, and have whoever you might want to invite, Google it. And he is for real, because last year he came and brought us over $10,000 and didn't take a penny. Come on, somebody. How many think that's somebody real? He came on his own, paid his own airfare, paid his own keep, and then he brought us, I think it was $10,000 or so dollars to help us when we were in the deepest. How many think we ought to bless him back this year when the Lord brought us here? So we'll be doing that next Sunday and having him. I want to really encourage you, invite somebody. You're going to really, really. He's a down-to-earth mechanic, and that's what he speaks like, and he's going to love it. All right, today we're going to talk, it's a very interesting beatitude today for a couple of reasons. Matthew 13 and 52 says, "Then he said to them, therefore every scribe which is instructed to the kingdom of heaven is like a man, there's a household which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old." And many of the Beatitudes were brand new. When Jesus spoke them, they'd never been spoken before. But this one was old. This one was known. This one was, it wasn't practiced very much, but it was brought out of the Old Testament. Psalms 37 says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And so this one was is Jesus is speaking the Beatitudes. And I said again, they're not the do attitudes, they're the Beatitudes. Everybody say the Beatitudes. They're the Beatitudes. And so Jesus spoke this one, not a brand new something that day, but he quotes out of the book of Psalms, and he said, "The blessed are those that are meek." And the reason that the Beatitudes are interesting, because the definition of the word blessed means happy. Happy are the meek. And meek, we don't use the word meek. Anybody use the word meek this week, this last week in your vocabulary? Did anybody use the word meek in all the talking you did? All the women that speak, 8,000 words a day, and all the men that speak 1,000 words a day. Did any of you use the word meek this week? You had one? You used meek? Okay, there's one. Anybody else use meek this week? See, so there's one biblical person in this entire place, but the rest of you did use meek. So think of the word. This word is not a word that's used every day in your vocabulary, and the reason is Webster's dictionary defines it as deficient. Everybody know, you're not going anywhere good when you start with that word. Deficient in spirit and courage, not very strong. So the Webster definition of meek has nothing to do with the biblical definition of meek. When we think of someone who is meek, we usually think of someone who is mild-mannered, soft-spoken, maybe even a little weak, or a person that's easily a pushover. How many did not see much of that go on yesterday at the opening of college football yesterday? How many saw that? Didn't see, when you watched all the games yesterday, the word meek normally didn't come up in your thinking. But that's not what the word meek means. And I have three questions I want to ask today, and they're real easy. Three questions: what, so what, and now what. All right, everybody say it with me. Say what, say so what, and now what. I will answer those three questions. All right, first question is what. Everybody say what one more time. What. What is meekness? So let's define it. And first, let me give you what it's not. Listen, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. And the word meekness literally means strength under control. In the Greek language, meekness means strength under control. It comes from a Greek culture that describes a wild animal that's been trained and is completely submissive and obedient to its master. And understand that we may not like the word tame, but understand the phrase submissive and completely obedient to its master. Because Jesus was the meekest person that ever lived on the face of the earth. And he was not weak. How many believe he was not weak? Yet he was meek. We think of Moses, who we spoke about, we'll see in a moment, the meekest man on the earth. But he wasn't weakling, and nor was he a weakling. And one of the keys about it is how do you hold a bar of soap? And that's one of the keys. How do you hold a bar? I don't know if you've learned this. You see, all of us are got muscles, and probably if I arm wrestled any woman in here, I could beat her. Come on, somebody. And because we've got muscles, but the women have muscles too. But think of this. Think of when you're picking up a bar of soap, and you got the shampoo in your hair, and you got shampoo on your hands, and you reach for that bar of soap. What you do is you hold a bar of soap lightly. You do not squeeze with all your strength. How many of you have squeezed with all your strength? What happens if you squeeze with all your strength a bar of soap? What happens? Pops right out and hits your big toe, and then you start screaming. All right, so how do you hold a bar of soap? You don't exert all the power you have to hold a bar of soap. You hold a bar of soap lightly. You take it, even though you've got strength to hold it as tight as you want. You could squeeze it. But what you do is you hold a bar of soap lightly. And that way you don't drop it. It doesn't squirt out of your hands. And many times, listen, I've seen a lot of people squeeze the life out of their life by holding on too tightly. Squeezing too tightly. And meekness refers to when you can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. When you have the power, but it's power under control. When you have the strength, but it's strength under control. When you could do it, but you've got all that strength to pick up that bar, and you've got all that more strength you could use, but you hold it lightly. Let me give some examples. Joseph, Genesis 45, and verse 1 through 8. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, you know, the one you didn't love, the one you hated, the one you took my coat and put blood on, and you threw me in a pit. And you're going to kill me, but only Reuben stopped you guys from killing me. And then you sold me to the Calamite. You brought me down to Egypt, and how they put me in prison. I stayed in prison for years and years and years. And you remember, I'm that Joseph that you did all that to. And now I am second in command of the most powerful army on the face of the earth. I'm that Joseph. All right, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? And my brothers could not answer, for they were troubled. And I say trouble. You know what was going through their mind. Payday someday, and today is someday, and it's going to happen because they look at him, they realize, you know, the strength of this guy and the strength that he has and what he could do to them, because, I mean, with one word, their heads come off. And da, da, da. And so they're troubled. Joseph said, brothers, come near me, you know, because they were far off. Hey, nobody going near, because maybe we can make a run for it. You know, who knows? Come near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and yet there are five to come, in which there shall neither be reaping or da, 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 da. And God sent me before you to preserve you as a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, meekness is not weakness. And Joseph is meek in this situation. Weak? No, he was not weak. One word of command, and it would have been over for those guys. But he was strength under control. Everybody say that with me. Strength under control. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. And he's sitting there, and he has strength under control. The second one is Moses. Moses in Numbers 12 and 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Now, the reason that is said of him, somehow they get this, when the painters in the medieval times painted his picture, they painted him a little weakling. But that's not true, because meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. You can be the second most powerful man in the world and still be meek, because meekness is strength under control. Now, Moses, though it's said of him in his later life, he was the meekest man. That could not have been said of him in his early days. In fact, the Bible says one time he went out to see his brethren, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And the Bible says he beat the man up. He beat him until he killed him. and then buried him in the sand. See, his anger rose up when he saw this Egyptian doing this to a Hebrew. And Moses then took his ability, his strength, and he was not meek because it was not strength under control. And he beats this Egyptian till he kills the Egyptian. So that was not meek. He was not meek at the beginning of his life. And many of you may not have been meek at the beginning of your life. But strength under control comes into his life later on, and he's become known as the meekest man on the face of the earth at that time. David also, tremendous warrior. You read of him killing the lion, the bear, and then he downs Goliath. And then that's just the beginning of his conquest. He begins to lead the armies of Saul throughout the game. And in fact, where they began to sing, Saul has killed his thousand, David his 10,000s. And so he was a man of tremendous strength. A man that could do, he was a warrior. But watch 2 Samuel 16. David came to Baram. Behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed till he came. And he cast stones at David, and all the servants of David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus Shimei, when he cursed, come out, you bloody man, you men of Baal. The Lord has returned on you the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And behold, you're taken in mischief because you're a bloody man. And he's probably spitting as he's saying all this. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, you got to read what this man did. That man was a warrior. That man had killed bunches of Philistines. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, the king says, why should this dead dog curse the Lord? Let me go over, I pray you, and take off his head, one swing of his sword. The king said, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David, who shall I then say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seek my life. How much more now this Benjamite of the tribe of Saul? Do it. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and the Lord will require me good for his cursings this day. Now what you know is this is meekness. This is not weakness. One word from David and Shimei's head's off him. But it is strength under control. It's sitting there and realizing God is in control of this. And David knew that. And so David is sitting there and he's a man full of meekness. Not weakness. Man full of strength under control. Everybody say amen. Amen. Man under control. So David didn't lay a hand on his strength under control. Now, the connotation of the word meekness is tremendous strength. Tremendous strength. You need to remember that. Tremendous strength. Let me just talk to bosses a minute. Because I don't know if you've ever worked for a good boss and you've worked for a bad boss. You ever worked for a boss that this is his kingdom and he's going to rule it like he wants and he's got the power and he's going to tell you and let you know he's got the power? And some bosses are like that because, you know, I mean, I'm going to tell you, when I first took over here, I was that kind of boss. I told my secretary, do not do personal calls on the church phone. God told me to tell you that. So I came in one day, she's talking on a personal call. You know what I did? I took her phone off her desk. She's the only one answering the phone. Come on, how smart is that? Come on, somebody. Woo, that was meekness. That was strength under control. Because when I came on staff, I just had the pastor before me. I remember my first day on the job, I walked in, and he walked in by his secretary's desk, and I'm walking with him, and he tells the secretary to clean her desk up. He liked everything in exact order. So we went in his office. We talked about an hour and a half, and my first day on the job, we walked back out. He took his hand and raked her desk off into the floor. That's how a boss is. I said, well, that's how you do it. So I learned that real quick. I had to relearn some things real fast. All right, let me just talk to James. Watch this. Here, I came on bosses. Watch this. James, go to James. If you skip over that. Go to James. I'm sorry. Do I have James? Here we go. Go now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come on you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is corroded. The rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire and have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborer who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries and the cries of them which have reaped the entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just and does not resist you. Let me tell you something. That boss, that owner, that cheated people. That owner was cheating people. Look what Colossians 4 says. Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Look at Colossians 3. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You ever had a parent that was just domineering, and they were not meek. They were not a strength under control. That they lashed out, they hit, they did whatever. They just had it. Look at Ephesians 6. And you masters do the same things to them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. The Bible says, as you do unto others, it shall be done unto you. And so I'm going to encourage you, masters. You need to know that meekness is strength under control. And we're repulsed when we see someone that is very strong take advantage of somebody that's weaker. You're repulsed by it when you see somebody that doesn't have meekness. They're strong, but they use it in a very unright way. There's something that is beautiful, though, about to even to us when we see a person who has tremendous power, and yet you see him, you know, just in meekness minister or give or help or respond when you know they had the power. When there's something repulsive when a person doesn't under control. All right, number two. That's what. So number two is, so what? Everybody say, so what? So what? So let's do this. So what? What does meekness produce? What does meekness produce? It's a big key. There are two things that it does. Let me say it this way. What produces meekness? I'll do the third one and the last one. What produces meekness? Let me tell you this. Nobody is just born with it. You're not just one personality type versus another personality type. That's not meekness. Meekness is not a personality type. It's not some personality trait. Meekness is not, listen, let me tell you two things that meekness, that do not produce meekness. You're not born with it. Children are not born with meekness. You ever seen, I've got a little one-year-old granddaughter and a three-year-old grandson. How many know when they both want something, there is no meekness involved? And we didn't teach them that. But you could see on their faces, it's so funny because my little one-year-old granddaughter, you can see her, she does not hide her emotions. All her emotions are painted on her face. And she has got about 10 different emotions you can see on her face. She's got the pout, she's got the, you know, but she's got, when her brother, three-year-old brother and her go after something, you see it. I mean, it is like, the second coming of the day. Okay, second day. Secondly, you need to understand that it's not a personality trait. You don't just something your person. Let me tell you how it's done. Meekness is produced in Galatians chapter 5. It tells us very, very. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the word gentleness is the word meekness. It only appears four times in the New Testament. This is the second time we're looking at this morning. The meekness is only produced by a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, strength under control, is only done when you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. You begin to let the Holy Spirit begin to take control. The Greek word for meekness occurs, as I said, four times. It usually translated gentle or gentleness in that day. But meek is the word paru or paru, which means gentle. Meekness is the word parush, and it means gentle. And another time, the third time it's listed, is in Matthew chapter 11. And it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you, learn me, for I am what? He's the only time Jesus ever describes himself. And the reason you see a lot of these medieval paintings of Jesus looking like some little frail, you know, whatever, is because they misinterpreted the word meek. When Jesus described himself, he described himself as strength under control. For come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, for I am meek. I am strength under control. I am strength. I love the way that the Message Bible. Let's read this in the Message Bible. Watch how it reads in the Message Bible. Cody, do I have it? Do I have it in the Message Bible? I know I threw a lot this morning. I threw all this at him, and about 8:30 this morning, I redid my whole sermon, outlined this and that, and I texted to him. I don't know why they don't have it right up here. I just don't understand.
Why is it? See, if you find this and put it up there for the Message Bible. I'll wait on just a minute. Because it uses a term I want you to get. Because when you Matthew 11, put in the Message. When you do it, here it is. Watch. You're blessed when you're happy, when you're content with just who you are. No more and no less. Now, go back, but I'm trying to get Matthew 11. I know that guy. Find Matthew 11, 28 and 29 in the Message Bible. Put it up there. Matthew 28. 11, 28, and 29. I'll do it. Because it uses a word, it uses a phrase I want you to get. And this is used because it's called the unforced rhythms of grace. I love the way it's written. Unforced rhythm. Is it? Okay, got it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. And it's where we get our word vacation from. Everybody needs a spiritual vacation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk, you're blessed. No, go back to, here you go. Do you have 28? Go 30. Give me 30 also. They can wait. They're not hungry yet. They can wait. If you do this, just keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly in charge of the Sabbath. I've got a missing. I'm missing a scripture somewhere. Is that 28? Can you go through 28 through 30, all of it? Somewhere there's a, I know I'm putting them on the spot. Walk with me and work with me. Here he goes. Watch. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Watch this. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything on heavy or ill-fitting on you. What he says is, learn how to walk with me. Because when you do, you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Is you'll just feel, they'll be unforced. You'll just be forced. You just feel the Holy Spirit tell you, no, do this, don't do that. Yes, do this, say that. Don't say that. Back up. You're about to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. This is the only time Jesus ever describes himself. And he says, I am meek and lowly. I am strength under control. All right, let me give you another one here. Here's another time the word is used. Here's the last time the word is used. Because I like to call this Peter's beauty lessons. All right, that I put up there. Peter's beauty lessons. This will never appear in Cosmopolitan or Vogue. You won't pick this up on the newsstand and read. Oh, this is beauty. This is how you do it. Here is Peter's beauty's lessons, and it's out of 1 Peter. It says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." There's the word meek. There it is. Strength under control, which is in the sight of God a great price. Now, back up. Let's read verse 3 again. This is Peter. Let me speak to all the women, and then we'll speak to the men, so I'm not going to leave them out. This is for all the women. Here is what you will never read. They'll never have this on the front cover of Cosmopolitan. It'll never be on there. Here is your beauty tips this week or this month, however often it comes out. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. Let me tell you something. Listen, one of the things I learned, ladies, the ability, you have the ability to become a knockout. Everybody does. Come on, all the ugly women say amen. Come on, all the ugly women say amen. All the ugly men will say it. Because, I mean, you can look. You ever seen some of these singers and you see them when they're young and they look, you know, and then you see them and all the stuff that's been done to them? But when you see them, let me say this. Every woman in here has the ability to be a knockout. You mean you can put it on the makeup, you can put the certain clothes on, you can do your hair, you can do all that. You can be a knockout to where when you walk in a room, every head turns and stares at you. All of you know you have that ability. You know when you're choosing your clothes, when you're out shopping, when you're out doing. All of you know that. You know when you're talking to somebody, if you just say the right way or flip your hair or bat your eyes. And so all of you know that. You know you have the ability. Women have the strength They have the strength to do that. But when you're meek, it's strength under control. And Peter said, let me give you a beauty lesson. Let me tell you what beauty will last. Well, listen, all that stuff you got right now is going to turn into bulges and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But let me tell you what beauty never fades. It's the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit. And I know it pays to advertise. Come on, somebody. But you're going to regret all that stuff. Let me tell the guy. Listen, there was a preacher one time. I watched him. And every Sunday he wore short sleeve shirts to show his muscles how big he'd worked out that week. I won't say who he was, but he ended up, dudes came out. You ought to see a picture of him now. Because he ended up being a homosexual and all this. But he used to preach, and he had a 10,000-member church. And, I mean, every Sunday he wore these short-sleeve shirts, and sometimes he'd wear the ones, come on, somebody, without the sleeves. And, I mean, it's just to show off this and that. And we could be, you know, the jock and all this and that to try to put on all this. But listen, you got strength. You have to strut like some rooster. Have strength under control. Come on, somebody. Everybody mad at me? Now let me tell you. Let me just help the women here. Let me help the women. Do you see the Bible says the ornament of a meek and quiet? Listen to this. Spirit, not soul. We've gotten this to where this has been so misused against women. You're supposed to be meek and quiet in church. You're supposed to be meek and quiet. Let me tell you. The Bible says a meek and quiet spirit. That's your spirit, man. Not a meek and quiet soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So women have gotten some sort of this been beaten with this scripture totally out of context. Because if some woman is outgoing or lively, all that stuff, somehow she's not really a godly woman, because a godly woman sits there with her hands folded, her mouth shut, da-da-da, come on, somebody. Because I always told you this, I believe the Bible says it's a sin not to wear makeup. Somewhere in there in the Bible it says that is a sin. Because my philosophy is, if the barn needs painting, come on, somebody. I grew up in Virginia. But we've used meekness to describe the personality instead of the character, instead of character and spirit. We've used the word meekness to describe to describe personality rather than character and spirit. See, a woman can be personality-wise just on and on and talking, not enjoy life. Has nothing to do with your character and your purity, your spirit. So you can enjoy life and be who you are and who God made you to be and not be strapped down. You can be the life of the party. You can be just as outgoing, or you can be as quiet as you want to be. Has nothing to do with what Peter talking. Everybody say amen today. Amen. All right. Me going there. All right. The other thing, this is a good one. Come on, God. I'm going to show you a video, just a 2-minute-long video. And I want you to think, I want you to watch the two front legs. Let me just say it that way. I want you to watch the two front legs and think of if this reminds you of anybody. Maybe a child you had, maybe a friend, maybe a spouse. Let's see. All right, let me do this. Now, meekness, here's what the other word meekness in the Greek means. It means a bit in a horse's mouth. A bit in a horse's mouth. Watch this video, and it was entitled Crazy People Trying to Break a Horse. This is an unbroken horse, and watch this.
Yeah.
Let's take your time off her around.
Keep watching this thing.
Yeah, he's putting it, and he's going to get hung.
She's going to be dragging him around, son. I wouldn't. I'll keep it in no matter what. Go on, Sass. Go on, girl. Sassy.
You ain't going up.
Dad, yank it. Not like that. I know how to ride a horse more than you.
Oh.
Go on, Sass. Go on, girl. Walk around. Go on, baby. Go on, Sass. Walk around. Go on. Your Ernie will quit yanking and see what
Maybe
she
you
does.
Maybe you get some corn to hold in front of her.
Yeah, Ernie, put some corn in your hand.
You want a bucket of corn?
Wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I think so. I hope you got that. I hope you did.
How many think they didn't know what they were doing? They had no clue. Having grown up in Virginia, I saw that many a time. They tried things, they had a clue what they were doing. Now, one of the keys is meekness is when a horse is broken. And see, you watch out when somebody knows what they're doing, they can break that horse. But that when that horse is broken, let me tell you something. It is not any weaker than when it's not broken. When that horse, how many has ever ridden a horse? Let's see, how many have ridden a horse? Okay, most of you have ridden a horse. How many of that horse is stronger than you? That horse is more powerful than you. That horse could throw you to the moon if it wanted to throw you to the moon. It could turn around and bite. We were in Egypt one time, and I won't say what happened, but two German couples got on this camel, and they started kicking this camel and slapping this camel, and that camel turned around and bit that guy, and they took him to the hospital. I mean, it bit him right through his shoe. And because the animal you get on, I mean, some of you, you're on there, and when you first rode a horse, how many of you were nervous? How many were scared? You know why? Because you knew you were on something far more powerful than you ever was. You sit on this thing, this thing could take off. How many of you the horse took off when you got on it? Yeah, I mean, he could take off because, you know, because it's more powerful. But when it's broken, the bit in his mouth controls it. It is strength under control. So that's where we get the word meekness from. And you understand it. And literally, let me give it another way. Meekness can be called power and purpose and on the Lord. Number three is, everybody say, and now what? Let's end up. And now what? All right. What? So what? And now what? So now what does meekness produce? And let me give you the best thing meekness will ever produce in your life. And you'll enjoy this. Meekness will produce peace in your life. Meekness will produce peace in your life. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Look at it in the Message Bible. You are blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. When you learn meekness, strength under control, when you do that, when you come to the place where you're content with just who you are, no more, no less, that's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. Let me tell you, you cannot buy peace. You cannot buy peace. Christina Onassis, remember her? She used to pay people to be her friends. She paid people, she's the richest, she paid people to be her friends. So one of the keys is, listen, meekness is when you proud owners of everything you cannot be bought. And so the Bible says that they shall inherit. And I love this part where it says, and the meek shall inherit the earth. Let me just give you a real, you know what that means? It means one day every ruler is going to be a meek ruler. One day every ruler on the face of the earth is going to be strength under control. Did you know that? You know the Bible says that in when the millennial kingdom comes and heaven comes, He told his disciples, you're going to be ruling over this, you're going to be ruling over that, you're going to be ruling over this, you're going to be ruling over that. Let me tell you, there's not going to be one bad ruler on the face of the earth. Every ruler of every continent, of every country, every ruler when we get to heaven, and every ruler in outer space, every ruler in the universe, there's coming a time when every ruler is going to be a meek person, strength under control. Every ruler, can you imagine, every ruler, think of the best ruler on planet Earth right now, and think of that person being everywhere and over every planet, every continent, every nation, every city, every mayor, every official. However God sets up the new Jerusalem, we don't know how he's going to set it up, but every ruler is going to be meek, because that is who is going to inherit the earth. Secondly, is the word earth is where we get our word dust or dirt or dust. And you know the other thing is, when you become meek, you rule over your own body, because your body is from dust. And one of the big things about meekness is you get to rule your own body. And greater is he that rules his spirit than he that rules a city. And you'll learn that in your life, that you begin to rule over all those things. So when it happens, you become literally strength under control. Everybody say strength under control today. Let me do this in Romans 8:13. Whenever you give, you learn this. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. When you learn meekness in your life, and you're not bursting out in anger, and you're not bursting out in all that anymore, listen, it just changes you. Psalms 37 says it this way. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourselves because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourselves in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yes, shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Have you ever had so much peace you had said, Lord, no more peace. Lord, just no more peace. God, I beg you, God, no more peace. God, it's been so peaceful in my family and my wife and my kid. God, just no more peace. All right, I didn't think anybody got there yet. But let me tell you, when you learn to be meek, nothing to do with weakness. When you learn to hold that bar of soap lightly, you learn to hold life lightly. Instead of squeezing life until you squeeze the life out of it. Until you're so domineering over your children that they don't even... Anybody big can beat up somebody small. Anybody can go over and smack somebody. Anybody can intimidate somebody big, little than you. You can do that. You want to raise your kids that way, do it. I would tell you, you'd make the biggest mistake of your entire life. I made it my rule in my life, I said... I have to say no so many times, I'm going to say yes every possible time I can. I had to say no so many times in my life, I made up my mind, I was going to say yes. Daddy, I said, now I'm so tired. Come on, let's go play ball. Yes. And my garage door has all the bumps in it. I learned to put myself there and don't have to run for the ball for 25 yards, you know. Got a lot of bings and bangs and bonnets in it, but it saved me a lot of steps, so I learned how to do that. Let me tell you what meekness produces. It produces peace. Let me tell you what meekness does. Meekness meekness produces peace because the Holy Spirit is in control. A meek person literally does that. In Psalms, look at Colossians 3 and 13. Look at this one in the Message Bible. Be even tempered, content with second place. All the men say amen to that. Be even tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Because we don't believe, listen, the reason we do that is we get out, but we don't believe that God's in control. You remember Joseph? God's in control. Moses? God's in control. They all believe that Jesus walked through the cross? God's in control. Meekness is calm in the midst of relational storm. Let me tell you why you have problems in your relationships. Because the other person's not perfect. It's called a relationship. Because ships go through storms, gales, smooth sailing. Some of you are sitting here right now and you're not even looking at your mate. Because it's been one of those days. Meekness allows you to sleep on the boat, on the bottom of the boat when you're in a storm because God's in control. Every relationship has storms. It's a ship. And do you know you're going to the storm just because, and neither are you, the other person's not perfect. Listen, and we're almost at the end. When you're in a relationship, you go through floods, droughts, thunder, and lightning. Let me tell you, they're a match made in heaven. So is thunder and lightning. You know that phrase, right? But meekness allows you to have the peace in the midst of the storm. Don't you ever hit your wife. Don't you ever hit a woman. When I grew up, that was a bit, don't you ever hit a woman. You know, don't you ever hit a woman. I remember we were down in South Africa. And South Africa, you know, was populated one time by some tough characters. And, I mean, I was in a church one time. I'll never forget it. They were telling the story about that one of the guys had beat up his wife. They went there and beat him up. I don't have any scripture for that. I just know they did it. They went there and beat him up. you only need, you know, it does take two to tango, right? So if you don't want, have you ever been with somebody you wanted them to argue with you and they wouldn't argue with you? I mean, they're cabinet cursing. Pow, pow, slamming doors. That's cabinet cursing, as they say. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Let me know Paul was not weak. He said, the authority given me, I've been caught up into heaven. I've seen Jesus. He had miracles. He said, I'm not weak. I'm not weak, but I am meek. I'm a man under control. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. And he said, listen, I'm meek. Now, I love it in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. Tell you, the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you meek and sitting on an ass, a colt of a foal of an ass. Your king comes to you weak, not weak, but meek, lowly. And it's the word for meek there, the word lowly is. And Isaiah 53, last one, and we're going to quit on this. Watch this. Isaiah 53, he was beaten. See if you see meekness in this. Because he told his disciples in the garden, don't you know when Peter came in with the sword? Remember Peter comes in with the sword, slices the ear off the servant? And Jesus, I love this, takes the ear and puts it back on the side of his head. I just stuck it right there in the forehead. I'll teach you to do something. How many know that's meekness under control? When the world is rolling around you and he reaches down and grabs the ear, and you know he took away all the... Can you imagine this guy accusing Peter later on in a court of law? He cut my ear off. And the judge said, which one? How many of Jesus can remove all the evidence against... Come on, somebody. Just stuck the ear back on his head. And then watch this. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. I did the math, and I did this before, but let me just end with this. When Jesus was being beaten on that cross, before he even went to the cross, he had told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter swung that sword, put up your sword, Peter. You're not meek. You're not strength under control. Yeah, you got the strength to cut a head off with that sword. You're out of control. I am meek and lowly in heart. I am strength under control. You know what he told him? He said, don't you know if I was strength out of control, I could pray and the Father would send me 12 legions of angels if I asked right now. And I did the math on that. 12 legions, a legion 6,000. That's 72,000 angels. In the Old Testament, one angel killed over 180-some-thousand men in one night. One angel. I did math this morning again. I times 180-some-thousand times 72,000. You know how many I got? 1 billion-something. You know what Jesus said? If I wanted to, I could take out planet Earth and all the universes close to me. I could wipe it all out in one word. But I am meek and lowly in heart. Strong? Yeah, you're strong. You know? Oh, yeah, you can do that. But the Bible says happy are the meek. Everybody say happy are the meek. Because you will gather a prosperity of peace you don't know. Everybody stand up this morning, would you? Close your eyes. You know, one of the keys of life in your life is, you know, I just see in my heart right now, close your eyes, I just see in my heart some kids. You guys are going through school and you've got the bullies. There's always bullies. There's always those that may not be physical bullies. They may be emotional bullies. They might be, you know, in every little school lot, they've got the queen bee, you know, that rules the roost. And just you know, just no meekness about it. The things that are said about you or to you or behind your back. I just felt that in my heart real strong this morning, especially for kids that are going through stuff. And going through school and going through, it's tough. I mean, how many remember that? It's tough. Because kids can be cruel. Kids can be mean. Because they're not, many of them aren't meek. And there is a lot of fighting going on. And they get beat up and they get this and that done to them. I want to pray just the beginning. Lord, I just pray for our school kids right now. God, I just pray. I ask you, Lord, cover them, protect them. God, I just pray for the bullies. I pray for those that are just mean-spirited, those that are not meek in any way. They're using their strength out of control. And God, I just pray for them this morning, Lord, that you'll bring something into their lives. I ask you, God, for the sake of the gospel. And I pray for these here that's being beat up, being bullied, being targeted. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would touch them in every way. Lord, I love you. I love you this morning. I love you, Jesus. And Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you are meek and lowly in heart. I thank you this morning, oh God, that you love us so much, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Keep your eyes closed, would you? I don't hardly ever do this. I don't minister very much on music anymore through the years, but turn the piano up good night, would you? I wrote a song a little while ago, and I was just meditating on this scripture. Just close your eyes, listen. Lay your burdens down. Cast your cares on him. Give Lord a good clap offering today. I want you. Now, Lord, I just pray the peace of God over this place. I thank you for especially every man leading the way of meekness. And then I pray for every woman to be meek. And God, I just pray for that. I ask you, Lord, your blessing. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say one more good amen. Give another good clap offering. You're dismissed. If you need prayer today for anything, we're going to be up here praying for people. If you got a prayer request or just need prayer for anything, come on, make your way up. All right, give somebody a big hug before you go today.